We're very glad to have our brother Craig Baxter with us tonight. We welcome sincerely our Saviour's precious name. We're glad that he was able to come and make his way up here. I don't know what the snow's like around where he lives. It's actually seems to be going away here, but I know that when you go away from the centre of the world here, that it seems to get more snow. But we're glad that our brother was able to come tonight, and he's come to bring the word of testimony. And we're going to ask him to come at this stage of the meeting and bring that word of testimony to us.
Well, thank the Reverend Dean for the words of welcome. Just to answer the question, we had no snow at all. Just where I lived, not a flake, but plenty of water. So I was a wee bit worried when I heard of the reports about these parts that their snow was quite bad in Ballinahinch and Hillsborough, but we got here in one piece anyway, so we're grateful for that. As I say, it's nice to be here with you tonight, and I just want to read a few verses of Scripture, a very familiar portion of God's Word, found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If there's any verses in Scripture that underpin my testimony, it's this passage in 2 Timothy 3. And it's verses 14 and 15, please, of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it reads, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I was born on the 20th of February 1975. I might look older to you, so rather than have you count, I'm 38. And at the time I was born, we were living on the Ravenhill Road in a little street called Carrington Street. I don't remember anything about it, because 3 weeks after I was born, we up sticks and we moved to Moneyray in with Granny and Granda Craig, my maternal grandparents. At that time, I think Dad had started studying in the Theological Hall. It was 3 years at that time, study. But after the first year, he was told he had three more to do. They changed it to four. So I think he was delighted about that. But my memories of those times are vague. I remember he was a student in Newton Arch, student minister, and I have vague memories there. Friendships formed with Mum and Dad then still remain to this day. And we had a 40th wedding anniversary party for them just a couple of years ago, and a lot of those faces were in that gathering. And it's good to see God's people sticking together through so many years down the line. I'm so thankful, and under God I owe my parents so much, and my grandparents, it has to be said, on my mother's side. I suppose the exception of a wife who's not here, so I can say this, they have the biggest influence upon me as a person and as a Christian. And I thank God for my grandparents and the memory that we have of them. They belong to the church in Ballygowan, and we spent many summers down in Moneyray with them. And the influences that Mum and Dad and my grandparents had upon me are still very much in existence today. But at the age of four, Dad got the call to Ungannon, so up we went again and moved there, and we were there for 18 years. So when people ask me where I'm from, I say Dungannon. And sometimes it's hard to say when you're the son of a manse, where you're from, when you move about a wee bit. But Dungannon's where I was educated, and Armagh for a short time as well, right up until I was 18. But I remember Mother often recounts the story how she cried when we knew where we were going to Dungannon. Not only had there been a little trouble in the church, but Dungannon was very much affected by the troubles. I was just saying to my brother the other day, our two closest neighbours on the road that we lived on, the manse just above the church, were murdered. One was a Protestant, murdered by the IRA, and one on down the road, who was a Catholic taxi driver, was murdered. Our two closest neighbours. And it's funny how you don't link things together at the time. But it was a town with a lot of trouble. And I suppose growing up, only for the influence that we had at home, we might have went the way of many of our peers, some of whom went on to serve jail sentences, some were killed. I was just coming down the road tonight remembering six young men that I went to school with or were friendly with died violently. One was shot, actually trying to save his dad's life, but others died through drink and drug problems, suicide, and one was murdered. So you can see the sort of town that it was. There was lots of trouble. But been born in the Manson, not knowing anything different other than God's house from the very earliest of memories, certainly has stood me in the very best of steads. Even though I've let the Lord down many times since, the Lord has been faithful. And through this influence at home and through various circumstances at the age of five, knowing that I needed to be saved, I remember having a fear as a boy of not going to heaven where my family were going to be. And I asked my mum one day, it was 1980, I can't remember the date, but I could take you to the very spot to this day in the manse there in Dungannon. And my mother took me on her knee and pointed me to the Saviour. And the Lord tells us in John chapter 6 and 37 that he that cometh to me, he will in no wise cast out. And that's the promise that I still cling to today, because the Lord doesn't break his promises. And I thank the Lord that he saved me so young. And growing up in primary school, there certainly was no difficulty with peer pressure or anything like that. A lot of the young people in class and in the school were associated with the church or other churches in the town. So there was never really any problem in primary school. But my testimony tonight probably is a mirror image of so many, especially in our own denomination. When you get to high school, things become different because you meet so many different people from different backgrounds. And when I went to high school, just out the Cookstown Road a little bit, I was very much into sport, loved football, athletics, rugby, basically anything to get out of class was my thing. So every sporting event that came up, my name was usually the first on the list. And you meet different people and different friendships are formed. And I suppose about the age of 14, 15, the interest in the things of God began to wane. And it's the same old story, when you lose the prayer time and reading God's word, you get into a backslidden state. And it wasn't too long before I wanted to start experiencing all these things that these young men were talking about, going here, there and everywhere, and starting to want to go to the snooker club, and then it was discos and the picture house, all these things that were a no-no when I was growing up. And from the ages of 15 to 20, I have to say, to my shame, I lived a sinful life. I was involved in the things of the world, going to discos, nightclubs all around the province and even further afield. And through all this, I know that Mum and Dad and people in the church were praying. And parents tonight, it's very easy sometimes to point the finger and say and criticise young people. But especially nowadays, and I know this now because of three children, and I know what a difficult job it is being a parent. And when you're raising children as a Christian, you'll find your answers on your knees. You'll pray for them and keep praying for them. And I know that the prayers of Mum and Dad carried me through those difficult times. So there's many times when there could have been a lot of trouble. There was a car accident one night. I was very fortunate to come out of that. I was also involving myself in a very bad crowd that were about Dungannon. They were very heavily involved in the drug scene. And I'm thankful to God that through circumstances I can't really explain, but it was only for a short period, but this was a group of people who were linked to the paramilitaries, who dealt in drugs, and I was in their company on a number of occasions. Well, word got back about this. Maybe half a dozen times I had been in their company. I was stopped one night in my Geshe, just outside Dungannon, by someone who was known to me, but who was saved. He had been involved himself years before in paramilitary activity, but he was saved, and he stopped with me and he told me to stop running around with this crowd. I'd get back to him and other people in the church, and they were very concerned. And maybe it was just God's hand in the whole thing. Obviously it was, that he kept me from these people. And I started then, there was other young men in the church who had similar upbringings to me, and I started running around with them. Like me, some of them had made a profession, some of them hadn't, but we started running around together. We had been friends from the ages of 5 or 6, and we still attended the nightclubs and the places like that. But on a Sunday, we were going to church and we were going to the youth rallies, And it has to be said, mostly to look for girls, but at least we were in the right place. And the Lord started to take a dealing with me in around 93, 94. I really knew that I was living a life and I was miserable. Because when you're living a sinful life, it's not fulfilling. At the end of the night, when the disco's over, it always left you wanting more. And you knew that it was a slope that would only take you downward. And I wasn't happy. And those around me knew I wasn't happy. And I had many conversations with friends, both within the church and outside of church, that really I needed to change things. But without me asking for the Lord's forgiveness, that was never going to happen. In 1993, a little bit under duress, I agreed to go to a camp that was organised by some of the youth fellowships over to the world. And it was here that I met my future wife. Now at that time, she was going on well with the Lord and I wasn't, so the relationship didn't last very long because of the way I was living, and it fizzled out. But we still kept up a contact, and I have to say that outside of the early years, Hilary has been a very big influence upon me as a Christian and as a person. Coming up to 1994, it was actually my 19th birthday. The meetings were held in the church hall because there had been a problem with the heating in the church, and my dad preached a sermon which 19 years ago nearly to the day, it was Matthew 6 and 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All the things that I wanted out of life, the job, family, all of those things, nothing ever seemed to work. I had a job in a local engineering firm, things were going quite well, but I knew that I could maybe do better. And the Lord used that and applied that verse to my life, and I began to think on these things and tried to stop running with the world and running, and for a short time I did. But it wasn't until early 1995, I came home one evening, I'd been away watching the snooker final in one of the local pubs, and I came home to the news that a cousin of my mother's had died very suddenly. At 48 years of age, him and I and the whole family were very close, and like me, had made a profession early on but hadn't borne out any sort of testimony. And I remember the Lord began to take a dealing with me as I heard my mother cry and pray in the next room. The Lord began to work for me. And a short time after that, I was working, as I say, in a local engineering firm. I came home. I clocked out early. I said to the manager, "I'm going home early. I'll be back in early in the morning." And the boss was quite flexible, and you were allowed to do that when you worked in the office. You could come and go nearly at will, it seemed at times, but some of them took advantage of it, but I tried not to. I came home that day and I got down on my knees and I asked the Lord to forgive me and renew within me that right spirit, and that he would take away all of the sin out of my life and restore me once again. And the Lord did that day, because there was a burden lifted immediately, a burden that until that moment I probably didn't fully realise was there. And I suppose the very first next thing that happened was that the following Tuesday night I walked into the prayer meeting in the church, and there were a few open mouths and surprised faces, but people were very kind and good, and I thank God for the influence of people in Dungannon too and their prayers. I remember with fondness people like Mr. Abram Nelson and Ernie Stewart and other men who were elders and committee men there, who prayed and were very gracious. And it's so difficult at times, especially, I was no different than any other young person, but being the son of a man, sometimes more maybe is expected of you. And maybe that's right, I don't know, but when you're 18 or 19 years of age, it's very, very difficult when you're still living in the family home for parents. And I just hope and pray that my children won't go the same way that I did go. But the Lord was good. Immediately started attending the meetings and enjoyed all the meetings that we went to. I started going to the Flame Youth Rally in Guildford on a Saturday night. It wasn't too long, a few months down the line, when I started to help out. And Kyle Salt was very influential in making you do things maybe that you didn't want quite to do, speaking at open airs and giving a word of testimony here and there. And I never found public speaking of any description easy, but the Lord was good and always gave the grace to help. I changed jobs and began working for a firm down in Carlow, who had also premises and a business in England. And in around that time, I'd also applied for various jobs, but this one just happened to come up. I'd applied for full-time reserve in the RUC, but by the time that process had finished, had been accepted, my mother wasn't too pleased about that either, but I decided to stay where I was, and it was all part of God's plan, because it was all part of something that I had to go through to learn various things about what I do now. So you can clearly see the Lord's hand at work in all of those decisions. And this gentleman that owned this business actually asked me to go into partnership with him in a side venture. And it's very hard to explain to a man from County Carlow about an unequal yoke. But we did our best, and I think I finally got through with that. But the Lord has been good ever since. He, as I say, Hilary and I were married in 1998. And he's blessed us with three children. Eli, who's 11. Katie's 9. And Aaron's 7. It's a busy home. And I thank the Lord that the Lord has saved my three children. And he has blessed us with that and answered prayers even before the children were born. We were praying that the Lord would save them early and that he would help us raise them in the things of God. And I have to confess, I would not match up to the job that my mum and dad did. They were very good, and it's a difficult job being a parent. But I thank God that he saved them. We attend the work in Muller Glass, and we are involved in the work there. In 2001, I was elected onto the church committee. I was very shocked, but we've been there now nearly 12 years working in the committee. We're the church secretary, and we're also involved in the children's work. And the Tuesday night, we have a Good News Club on the Tuesday night in the church, and my wife and I run that. And you really would be lost without the lady folk. It's our parents' night tonight for that children's meeting, and I've left them to it, so I hope everything goes well. And just of late, there has been difficulties in the congregation, and we were looking for a token for good, and the people in Muller Glass have been praying that the Lord would save children. There was also a couple of families that had started attending the church who weren't saved and had been attending very faithfully, and the people had been praying that the Lord would answer prayer and save souls. But just Tuesday, a fortnight ago, our penultimate Tuesday night meeting, one of our founding members in Muller Glass, Mrs. Rogers, did this children's story, and at the end she asked if any child would want to speak about salvation to come up and see her at the end. And four young people come up that night, and she talked to them and led each of them to the Lord. And it was a real token for good, because I was driving the bus leaving them home, and two of the older girls, as soon as they got out of the bus, told their parents, their unsaved parents, what had happened. And the parents seemed pleased enough and said, "That was very good, and very pleased for you." And the Lord has answered prayer in that regard. And just Sunday night past, one of the families that I spoke of, the father was out at the meeting, and just as he sat in the pew, gave his life to the Lord as well, and was at the prayer meeting on Tuesday night. So the Lord has blessed us in Muller Glass, and we're seeking a new minister. It's been just over 2 years from Mr. McMillan left and went to Armagh, but the Lord has been good and has given us a job to do there. And, you know, young people in the meeting especially, maybe you're like me, you've been born into a Christian home. It seemed to be growing up at times it was a life of do and don'ts. But I'm so grateful for the upbringing we had. I was just saying to my eldest boy one day, there was one Christmas day, it fell on a Sunday, and I had gotten a snooker table, and I wasn't allowed to touch it until the next day. And well, he understands that, because Sunday observance would still be something that we would adhere to. But it's difficult maybe growing up when you've got peer pressure, but never ever despise the upbringing that your parents have given you, because it has held me in the very best state. When we read this verse in Timothy, I can testify to the fact that I never ever forgot, even through my backslidden days, of what the Lord had done and what the Lord had blessed me with. Give me the very best of starts, and never despise young person the stand, even that our forebears took, even in this town, and the criticism and the trouble that they came through. I was even just remembering back when I was at high school, I'll tell this and I'll close. There was a teacher in our school who for some reason took dislike to me, and I don't know why, because he never had me for any of his classes. I was never in any of his classes. And it was only a number of years ago where I really figured out what it was all about. One of the other teachers on the staff, who was my form teacher, came to me one day years later. They taught in the same department, and she said the reason why Mr. So-and-so had a problem with you is because of who your dad was. And that's the sort of something when I was a child and a young person, I never realised just how much our denomination was hated. But be thankful, young person, for the stand that your parents and even your grandparents and others have taken for the word of God. And I thank God tonight for the denomination, God's men in every pulpit right across the province and across the world, good elders and good committee men who are faithful. And it's something not to be despised. It's something that we should cherish and always look to others for example, as I have done. And just finish with one verse of scripture, a couple of verses, Proverbs chapter 3. And this is really, if you use the scripture as your rule book for life, you can never go wrong. It's the mistake that I made all those years ago. But if we stick close to the Lord in our prayer time, fellowship with God's people, and read our Bibles and pray every day, well, then the Lord will bless us for it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen.